Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul, in his writing to the church of Galatia, we have to realize what he said here, and I really admire his faith, and I love to study the life of the Apostle Paul, because he was content in abundance, and he was content in lack.
Yes.
Wherever he was at, he was content. He didn't let anything get him too up or too down, right? And I love that about him and his life, but we want to see a revelation here in these teachings, in this scripture here, Galatians 2:20. It's a good one to memorize, by the way. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he said, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Notice Christ, Jesus Christ, Christ being the anointing and the anointed one. So you could say this, the anointing, he said, lives in me. What is the anointing? Well, we witnessed that this morning. The anointing destroys every yoke of bondage. The anointing does something that man can't do. The anointing takes you places where just the natural man cannot go. The anointing destroys chains of bondage. The anointing, the devil hates the anointing.
Yes.
Right? Because the anointing just transcends every human ability, and it breaks right through to miracles. Miracles. And we're going to believe for miracles, even more miracles this year.
Amen.
In this house.
Amen.
Because you see, you are all members of the body of Christ.
Yes.
You're all members in particular of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are members in particular of his body.
Yeah.
Hands, feet, but also the parts of the body that you can't see. Lungs, spleen, kidneys. There are people in the body of Christ that are not noticed, but they're vital to the body of Christ functioning. You ever thought about that? We see members of the body, but there's also hidden members of the body of Christ that people don't see, but they're functioning and they're working. I always say this, if we didn't have the ministry of helps here at this church, we could not even go forward. We rely on the ministry of helps because that's what keeps everything going. That's the lifeblood of the body of Christ. In this church, we praise God speak it to me, and I can't speak. For this church is about ready to have a great awakening.
Yes.
This church is on the brink of the miraculous. This church is on the brink of the supernatural. Don't be afraid of it. Don't shy away from it, but enter in. Don't be on the banks of the river, but come in to the current where my spirit is flowing. For there will be a sign and a wonder to many, many, many. As this church grows, this church grows in the miracle power, you see. There'll be power coming and emanating from this body that will change those around. It'll change those far and near. So don't shy away from it. Don't shy away from it, but enter in. Don't stay on the banks of the river any longer. But go in. Go into the deep. Go into the deep parts. Go into the deep parts of my spirit. For there are many that are hungry, that have been living on the banks, watching others play and get all kinds of blessings in the middle. And into the deep. But I'm calling you into the deep. I'm calling you that have been on the sidelines and on the banks to go farther into the deep. Don't go on the banks any longer, but step into the water. Step into the deep of my spirit. Step into the deep of my miracles, for that's what will change this nation. This is what will change this place, as it is a forerunner to my coming, the miracles. So stay in my presence, stay in my word, and stay ready. Stay ready and walk in obedience. And when I say this, and I say do this, do this. When I say go there, go there.
Yes.
When I say speak this, speak this.
Yes.
In this day, in this hour, that is where my power will flow in abundance, you see. Yes, in the marketplace, in the highways, in the byways. Be led by my spirit, and let this be a teaching of sorts for you to be taught here. So when you go where you are, where you are going, those places you are going, they will see. They will see. They'll see the anointing. They'll see it in you. They'll see it in you, you see. They'll see it in you. So know this, that I'm glad. I'm very, very pleased, you see. I'm pleased with you, saith the Lord. I'm pleased with you. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Ephesians 5:30 says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Let me read that again. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And I don't know how many are in here that are medical people, but there are a certain amount of bones in our bodies, but that our body does not just contain bones. It contains all kinds of cells and you know, sinews and muscles and DNA, all kinds of things in our body. We can't number that, I don't think, but it's amazing that we just think of the body as hands and feet sometimes, as arms and legs, but there's more in the body of Christ. But as we all get together, we are the fullness of Christ. We're the fullness of him. And listen, this morning I want you to know that you are in Christ. If you're in Christ, you are where Jesus is at. He's the head and we are his body. And if he is seated in the heavenly places at the right hand of the Father, that's where you are at. That's where you're at. That's where you're at. That's where you're at. But you see, we've got to hear this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The world pulls you down. The world says, no, no, you don't have any power. You don't have a witness. You don't have any fruit. But hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You are members of his body, and when Jesus was quickened and raised and sat down, you were also quickened and raised and sat down. Amen. And so that's where you're at right now. Far above all principality and power and might and every name that is named. Yes, the little toe on the left foot of the body of Christ is still on top of the devil. You have authority, but faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And many of my people, they are being destroyed because they are not hearing. They're not hearing of who they are, what they have, and where they are seated. But no, no, no. Know this, that you are hearing this, saith the Lord, and faith will rise up, and you will walk as I want you to walk. You'll walk in that authority. You'll walk in that power. You'll walk in that delegated authority. So when the devil comes, you'll know that he's under your feet. He's not ruling things. He's under your feet. He's already been defeated. Have I not already said he's defeated? He's a defeated foe. And so walk in newness of life. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the authority that I've given you, and begin to say in the name of Jesus to that enemy that's in front of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we see in Colossians 1:27, it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. See, it's a mystery to many because they've never heard the word. It's a mystery. They hear this, but they've never heard the word. So faith rises up. The mystery, glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, interesting, the Apostle Paul said in the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 6:16, he said, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. You are the temple. Everyone in here this morning, you are the temple or the house of the living God. What is the living God? The living God is the living word. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. piercing into the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So we are the temple of the living God. But look what he said. As God hath said. Hath said. The word hath said. The word hath said. See, God has already said it. He has already said you are healed. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. You are healed. He's already said it. He's living on the inside of you. He said, as God has said, he said, I will dwell in them and walk in them.
Yes.
Amen.
I will dwell in them. The word dwell in the Greek is imperipateo. Imperipateo. It means to perambulate on a place or to be occupied among persons. To perambulate. The Spirit of God is perambulating on the inside of you. What is a perambulator? A perambulator is a device that is used to measure the borders of something. A perambulator is, you've seen them on construction sites, it's a wheel, sometimes it's a real colorful wheel, and then it has a handle, and they will walk with this perambulator to measure the borders where they're going to build. In other words, how many meters it is in circumference. As long as a perambulator is working, you can go with a perambulator and you can increase the borders of where something's going to be built. Hang on to your shoes this morning. Amen. God is perambulating on the inside of you, but you can go as far as your faith is of who God is. Your borders can be expanded, amen, by the perambulator. And what is a perambulator? Your tongue is what can increase the borders of your life. Your healing, your families, your life, your prosperity, whatever it is. Perambulate means to increase and measure the borders. Actually, if you look up in Webster, it means to make an official inspection of a boundary. To make an official inspection of a boundary. See, many times we cause the boundary where God can move to be very small. We make the boundary very small. We do it. We do it by saying, well, I'm going to be sick. It's that time of year. I'm going to be sick. Or I'll never be able to do that. I see somebody else. Oh, I see them on Christian TV, but I'll never be able to speak in front of people. I'll never be able to do this. And by doing that, you are the borders are being shrunken. Okay? God can only work in terms of your faith. And so we've got to speak to increase the borders of the perambulating, the Spirit of God on the inside. He's waiting for us to increase the borders where he can move. You see, there's borders. Borders. God wants our borders to be increased. He wants us to begin to believe for a church that's huge in this area.
That's right.
Amen.
He wants us to believe for something that's bigger than what we have. He wants us to believe for miracles to happen and to pop in here like popcorn. Just miracles begin to happen like popcorn. Things happen like that. Just happen. Why should we not believe that? For he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why can we not have the same miracles that he had when he was on the earth? We can. We can. But we've got to believe it because that will increase the borders in which the Spirit of God can move. But if we do not say it, if we don't believe it, then he can't move. Hallelujah. But we're saying it, we're believing it, and he will begin to move. I believe there'll be a man or woman that comes in here and says, I've got a building for you. No charge, nothing, you can have it. It's yours. Why? Because you've been saying it, you've been believing it, and you've increased the borders of your faith, and the perambulating of the Spirit of God on the inside is able to increase the borders of your life. And you begin to say, my family is saved. My children are born again. Don't say what you've got. Say what you're believing for. Because if we just say what we have, we're going to keep on having what we have. You've got to say what you're believing God for. Say what you're believing God for. The truth is, as the Spirit of God's been saying this morning, we have been seated in heavenly places. What is Pentecost? Pentecost was the result of Jesus being glorified.
That's what I mean.
For if he was not glorified, if he did not go physically into heaven and sit down, the Spirit of God could not come. But the truth is, he did sit down. That's why Pentecost came. So the truth is, we're in Pentecost right now. You're Pentecostal, whether you know it or not. You're in a Pentecostal believing church. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the power of God. We believe in the miracles of God. We believe that God is more than enough. We believe that God can do what he did back then. We believe he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We believe that God can make a person that's blind to see again. We believe that God can take somebody that's in a wheelchair and raise them up and begin to walk and run. We believe that God can provide for you. He can say, go on the other side of the boat and find a catch of fish. We believe that God can do it. Hallelujah. Listen to what Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he's the Father of glory, the Father of glory, Jesus is the glory of the Father, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, look at this, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. How do you believe? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why I've said this over the 23 years we've been here. I keep saying it because faith comes by hearing and hearing. You got to keep on hearing it. You got to keep on hearing it. It doesn't come by just having heard one time. So I'm going to keep on saying it and saying it. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Now here it is. Get a hold of this. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Yeah. He's already been raised. Right? He was dead, but he was raised. And set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. He's already been raised. He already sat down. He's seated right now. Can we not see that? Set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What are the heavenly places? Look what it says, verse 21. Far above. Say far above.
Far.
Not just above, far above. Here's where he's seated. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name.
Amen.
That is named. Look at that. Every name that is named. A name is nothing until it's named. It's not an oxymoron there. It's not a dichotomy. A name is nothing until it's named. Nothing is a name until you give it a name. Think about that. Every name that is named. We name things, don't we? We name our children, and they become recognizable to that word, to that name. We give things names. We give sicknesses and illnesses a name. We give hurricanes names. Imagine that. We give names. Names give something authority. Names give something power. When you name something, it gives it power. It gives it authority. Right? Above every name that is named. The name of Jesus is above every name. The name of Jesus has more authority and more power, more anointing, more power than any name that is named above cancer, above leukemia, above depression, above schizophrenia, above rheumatoid arthritis, above every name that is named. Every name. The name of Jesus is far above, has more authority and more power. More authority. Why? Because Jesus has already been raised. He's already gone through all those levels of principalities and powers and mights and every name that is named. He's already gone through them. Amen? Not going to. Has already. It's past tense. We're just reaping the glory of it by realizing it's already been done. Glory to God. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Not only this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put, say hath put.
Hath
put, already put, hath put, all things, all names, all things, all power, all authority, all things under his feet.
Amen.
Look at that. It's already under his feet.
That's right.
Cancer is already under his feet.
That's right.
Cancer's already under his feet.
That's right.
Arthritis is already under his feet. Poverty is already under his feet.
Amen.
All things under his feet. And gave him to be the head over all things to the church. See, he's the head. We are his body. The church, ecclesia, is his body in particular. All of us are members of his body. He's the head. And we get all of our direction from the head. Your body gets direction from your head. You've got to think about it before. You may not think about this, but it all comes from your head.
Yes.
Everything you do starts with your head. You think about it and you do it. It's just such an amazing machine that God created. It's a miracle. Our whole body function is a miracle. We're so miraculously made. But Jesus is the head, so we get the direction from the head. We should get every direction from the head. And who is the head? Jesus is the head. And who is Jesus? The Word. What is the Word? The Logos. What is the Logos? The living Word. You have, right there in front of you, the Logos. You have the Word. Right there in front of you. Everything is past tense. It's past tense. You've already been blessed. You've already been healed. You've already been quickened and raised and seated. And then it says in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 6, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Look at verse 6. And hath raised us up together. Is that what it says? Hath raised us up together and made us sit, what? Together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Kenneth E. Hagin said that this was his main focus of his ministry. This is what the Lord's given me to the main mandate of the ministry God's called me to do. And that's why I get attacked so much. I get attacked so much because I won't back down. This is what we need to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't talk about all the attacks that are against me. I don't talk about it because why talk about it? It doesn't do any good. It's under my feet. The enemy's under your feet. Amen. Under your feet. So crush that enemy under your feet.
Amen.
Crush that enemy under your feet. I was out doing some yard work, and I did a little in the garage. I did a little bit of what's that stuff you spray bugs with? Bug spray, whatever. And so I was leaving to go out of the garage, and this roach, this big old roach, started walking after me. He was like, "I'm getting out of here. I see the way." I was walking out, so he was walking out with me. He didn't get too far, because I crushed him. I crushed him and I flicked him outside. And I watched him make sure he was dead, because those buggers will stay alive. And we have this beautiful, I'll tell this, my wife came to me one more, she said, "I got something for you to do." "What?" "I got something for you to do." And I was ready, I sat down, "Okay, what?" "Well, we have this flower outside that the Duns were so grace to give us, the one that you make lays out of the flower.
What's it called?
Plumeria.
Yeah.
So it's blooming, right? It's got beautiful leaves and everything. But she said there's a grasshopper that is stationed right there in the crevice of this beautiful leaves. And all these leaves have chunks out of them. I mean, it's just chunks, chunks, chunks. And this grasshopper is just sitting there, just fat as a cat, just sitting there. So she doesn't like to touch him, but it doesn't bother me. I go up there with my fingers and I get him. Usually they'll hiss at me because they don't like that. But he was so fat, been eating on those leaves. Leaves are about gone. So I took it and I looked at him and I said, "Boy, these are your last days." So first I thought I had this unction. I'm just going to throw him over the fence to my neighbors. But no, that's not good enough. See, it's not good enough just to hear somebody else say they're chasing the devil off. You got to do something. You got to cut the head off. You got to stomp on its head. So I hate to be so graphic right before lunch, but I stomped on its head, and he didn't die at first. They're so strong. But I kept exercising my authority on that grasshopper because it had been eating the this precious
plant
that was beautiful. Is the devil eating something that's precious to you? Has the devil been nibbling on something that you love? Is the devil, because that's what he does. He sits there and he nibbles and nibbles and nibbles. Get tired of it. Rise up and take him off of that thing and crush his head. Say, devil, you're under my feet. You're under my feet, and crush his head. Crush his head. And he's alive no more. He's just laying there. And I thought some ants would carry him away, but he's still laying there. I think he's still laying there today. But I want to close with this, now that you're thinking about grasshoppers. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Look at that. Look at that. Because as he is, he's doing fine. Jesus is doing fine. He's not sick. He's not poor. He's not discouraged. He's not worried. He's not fretting. He's not in turmoil. He's not all confused. As he is, so are we. How can you say that, preacher? How can you say that? Because we are his body. We are his body. And we get all that we need from the head. Hallelujah. So his peace is our peace. His peace is our peace. We have the peace of the Lord. His joy is our joy. We have the joy of the Lord. It's his joy. His faith is our faith. We live by his faith. The God kind of faith that's on the inside. So let me close by saying it. We're in the day of Pentecost. We're carrying this with us every day. Out of this gathering that we're in, we carry it off to wherever we go. We have the anointing. You may not feel like it, but it's on you. The anointing is on you. When you come together and come together and gather together, there is an anointing that's on you. It rests on you, and it's tangible. I don't know if you're like this, but I feel better when I come to church. I just feel better. I feel better. The day is better. The week is better. I can't wait to get here and preach the Word of God. Because as I'm teaching it, I'm getting it too. As I'm giving it out, the Lord's giving it back to me. So as we are preaching, it gets back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, run over. We've had miracles this morning. Physical healings.